Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. Today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the 2-1 decision today by a 3-judge federal appeals panel of the U.S. Ninth Circuit, upholding a 2010 ruling by former U.S. District Judge Vaughn Walker that overturned Proposition 8, banning same-sex marriage in California. Tobias Wolf, who teaches constitutional law at the University of Pennsylvania Law School and has participated in some of the highest-profile gay rights cases, joins us to assess the impact of the ruling and the likely appeals ahead that could go to the Supreme Court. Then we'll get an update on today's Republican primary in Minnesota with Lawrence Jacobs, the director of the Center for the Study of Politics and Governance at the University of Minnesota. With an upset victory by Rick Santorum expected, we'll examine the rollercoaster ride of Mitt Romney, who has long been projected as the winning nominee, but can't seem to maintain momentum as the restless Republican base searches for an alternative to the establishment candidate. Then finally, following the president's recent remark that knowing who is making decisions at any given time inside Iran is tough, we will try to find out who is in charge in Iran with Dr. Trita Parsi, who is the co-founder and president of the National Iranian American Council and author of A Single Roll of the Dice, Obama's Diplomacy with Iran. Joining us now is Tobias Wolf, who teaches civil procedure and constitutional law at the University of Pennsylvania Law School. His advocacy has included participation in some of the highest-profile gay rights cases of the last several years. He's one of the nation's leading authorities on the U.S. military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, and has written on discrimination by the Boy Scouts of America and has commented widely on marriage equality. Welcome to Background Briefing, Tobias Wolf.
Ian, thank you. It's great to be on the program again.
And today, of course, there was a 2-1 decision on the California Ninth Circuit, a panel, a 3-judge panel of the U.S. Ninth Circuit, which upheld the 2010 ruling by former U.S. District Judge Vaughn Walker that overturned Proposition 8 banning same-sex marriage in California. But it's a narrow decision, isn't it? It only affects the 18,000 people who were married in California. At least the ruling applies to them. It doesn't apply to the rest of the nation. And I take it that as long as this is being appealed, those people who were married and then had that taken away from them are still in limbo.
Well, let me actually just correct one part of what you just said. It is quite correct that this is a narrow constitutional ruling in several ways that we should discuss and that are important for the possible future course of this lawsuit. The case, as it was decided by the Ninth Circuit, if that ruling winds up being the last word, it applies to the entire state of California. The ruling strikes down Proposition 8 in its entirety. And the 18,000 couples who got married between the time that the California Supreme Court first recognized the right of gay couples to get married and the enactment of Prop 8, they've actually been in a stable situation. Their marriages have never been in question. The question has always been whether all the other same-sex couples in California will be able to enjoy the same right going forward. And what the Ninth Circuit panel held was that Proposition 8 singled out gay and lesbian couples, same-sex couples in California, and took a right away from them, a right that had been recognized as one of the highest order by the California Supreme Court under the state constitution and that people were enjoying very successfully. And it took that right away from gay and lesbian and same-sex couples for no legitimate reason, and that was the basis for the court's equal protection holding.
Well, indeed, there were the Judge Reinhart, who issued the majority opinion, said Proposition 8 serves no purpose and had no effect in California other than to lessen the status and human dignity of gays and lesbians in California and to officially reclassify their relationship and families as inferior to those of opposite-sex couples. The Constitution simply does not allow for laws of this sort.
That's right. And I must say, I'm very glad that the majority focused on that argument for a number of reasons. It's an argument that was put forward very strongly by the city of San Francisco in this case, by some of the amici curiae, some of the friends of the court in the case, and was also, of course, embraced by the Olson and Boys team. And the virtue of this argument is that it really focuses on the unprecedented set of circumstances that unfolded in California, where the state Supreme Court found that same-sex couples have the same rights as everybody else. People took advantage of those rights. And when Prop 8 was enacted, the California Supreme Court actually had another chance to speak to what Proposition 8 means. And in some sense, the California Supreme Court's second ruling laid the groundwork for today's decision, because the California Supreme Court is the one that made it clear in construing, interpreting what Proposition 8 does. They actually said very clearly the sole effect of Prop 8 was to separate out same-sex couples, the gay and lesbian citizens and couples of the state of California, and to make them separate and apart from everybody else. And that explanation of what Prop 8 did was really the starting point for the Ninth Circuit's analysis today. And as a consequence, you know, the Ninth Circuit is very big. It encompasses California, Idaho, Montana, Nevada, Arizona, Hawaii, Oregon, Washington. It's a very big circuit. And if the Ninth Circuit had issued a very broad decision on the issue of marriage equality in the Constitution, that would have applied to all the states in the Ninth Circuit. And I think there's no question that the Supreme Court would have felt the need to take that case and weigh in on the matter. Having issued a ruling which speaks in a very surgical fashion, in a very focused fashion, to the unique set of circumstances in California, it's a ruling which only applies to California. And it is certainly possible that any further courts that are asked to take a look at this, either the en banc Ninth Circuit, the full membership of the Ninth Circuit, or the Supreme Court itself, they may simply decide to leave this ruling in place because the consequences are limited to the state of California.
So, Tobias Wolff, the losing side, who clearly have not given up on this, will they, I mean, even if the Supreme Court is not likely to take it, will they still try, or will, what is the pecking order here? Do they have to go to the full Ninth Circuit first?
I think they will certainly try to take an appeal, and the proponents of Proposition 8, who are the only parties in the case at this point who are attempting to defend that discriminatory provision, they have the option of either asking the en banc court to review the case or going straight to a request to the Supreme Court. It's also the case that the judges of the Ninth Circuit on their own can choose to initiate an en banc process and at least consider the possibility of en banc review. They don't actually need a party to ask them to do that. So the next several months will, this part of what we need to be watching is not only what the anti-gay advocates who are trying to defend Proposition 8, you know, what they choose to do, but we'll also have to watch the Ninth Circuit itself.
Well, I guess the point is, though, that at some point, when does this overturning of, or the upholding of this judge's ruling that overturned Prop 8, when does it actually go into effect? Only when the proponents of Prop 8 give up, and they will only give up if what? If the Ninth Circuit says it's all over, or if the Supreme Court says we won't take it?
Yeah, no, you're quite right in saying that the decision won't go into effect, which means that Prop 8 won't go away until basically the appeals have come to a close. The Ninth Circuit itself, the panel itself, included a footnote that said that their stay remains in effect until what's called the mandate of the opinion issues, and it seems clear the most likely course of events is that the opinion won't actually go into effect until all the appeals have been exhausted. And, you know, how long that is going to take will depend, of course, both upon whether the Ninth Circuit itself decides that it's interested in hearing the case, and if not, whether the Supreme Court decides that it's interested. It's not going to be immediate, certainly. I think that the fastest that we could see the opinion go into effect is certainly several months from now. You know, we have to have both the Ninth Circuit and the Supreme Court decide that they're not interested. That would be the fastest way for the opinion to go into effect. And of course, if either the Ninth Circuit en banc or the Supreme Court decides that they do want to hear a further appeal, then there could be a quite lengthy process of at least another year or two or thereabouts.
But for those same-sex couples in the state of California who want to get married, they should, I suppose, be happy that the ruling is narrow enough that it may discourage the Supreme Court from taking it up. There's much less certainty with the Supreme Court than there is with the Ninth Circuit in the state of California.
Well, I wouldn't presume to say that there's certainty in any of these courts, but I think that you're quite right in saying that not just same-sex couples in California, of course, but everybody who values fairness and equality in California should be very happy that this was a narrowly focused ruling. I think that's a very good thing indeed. And I must tell you, you know, I lived in California for some time. I have family in California. It remains a very important part of my life. And it kills me that same-sex couples continue to be living under this separate and unequal status in the state of California. And I want this decision, if it is indeed the final word, to go into effect as soon as possible.
And there's six states, including the District of Columbia, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Iowa, Vermont, New Hampshire, and New York, that California should be joining, and presumably at some point will. I suppose, again, Tobias Wolf teaches civil procedure and constitutional law at the University of Pennsylvania Law School, and his advocacy work includes participation in some of the highest profile gay rights cases of the last several years. It does seem, given the way that the 2-1 vote went down, a Jimmy Carter appointee and a Bill Clinton appointee were in favor of upholding the overturning of Prop 8, whereas an appointee by President George W. Bush dissented. I suppose that says that elections have consequences. And also, I suppose in the context of the current election we're having, given that Mitt Romney is a likely candidate on the Republican side, and the Mormon Church had a huge and leading role in Prop 8, do you expect this to be an issue in this current election?
Well, I'll say a couple of things to that. You're quite correct that elections have consequences, and I think that one of the many reasons that this year's presidential election should be of great importance to anyone who cares about fairness and equality is because of the prospect of further appointments to the Supreme Court. I think it is less true than it has been in the past that ideology or political affiliation is a great predictor of how judges and even sometimes legislators will approach marriage equality. I mean, it is certainly the case that the Democratic Party has been a much greater friend to gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender people at the national level and at the state level than has the Republican Party. But we have seen increasingly both judges and individual legislators in states like New York and like in Iowa, for example, really defying expectations when it comes to their political affiliation. So my hope, and this is of course the way it should be, is that basic issues of equality will not map onto political party as consistently going forward as they have in the past. You know, and as far as the individual members of this panel are concerned, these are all very smart judges. And, you know, the opinions are very thoughtful opinions. Judge Smith's dissenting opinion is, I think, wrong in a number of very important analytical ways, but it's not a political opinion. You know, Judge Smith was doing his job as a judge. I think he just got it wrong this time.
Well, it is, though, pretty clear on the record that the Mormon Church played an active role in this. And
Right. I didn't mean to ignore that part of your question. No, let me actually say very directly about that. Mitt Romney issued a statement from his campaign today decrying the Ninth Circuit's opinion and saying the fight will continue around these issues. And in contrast, the White House press corps asked Jay Carney, at the White House press secretary, about the ruling today, and he reiterated the president's long-held position, which is strong opposition to Proposition 8 and measures like Proposition 8 that have as their only purpose to divide and discriminate, which is, in fact, exactly what the Ninth Circuit said about Proposition 8 in striking it down today, is that its only purpose was to divide and to discriminate.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Tobias Wolff.
Thank you very much, Ian. It's a pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Tobias Wolff, who teaches civil procedure and constitution law at the University of Pennsylvania Law School. His advocacy work has included participation in some of the highest profile gay rights cases of the last several years. We're going to take a brief station break, and then we'll get an update on today's Republican primary in Minnesota.
Ooh, love breaks the machine. Everything's happening.